Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
You know, we've been talking a lot lately about honor, and I just want to give you like a little glimpse of my dad before he comes up to speak. I remember years ago we used to bring a lot of guys down from Salvation Army from the rehab, and there was this one guy that used to come, and I mean, when we met him, he was right off the streets. He was a homeless guy, and I mean, he was a bag of bones, and we called him Little John. Until, you know, the ladies fattened him up at the church, and then he was, you know. But then the doctors would tell him, you got to slow down, John. But I remember one Christmas, I called Dad. I said, can I bring Little John for Christmas dinner? And he said, yes, of course. So, you know, he's there at our house. And I mean, there's been some pretty heavy hitters sit at Dad's dining table. You know, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Johnny, men that have ministered all over the world. And now there's a homeless guy sitting across the table from and he looks at Dad, and he said, Pastor, I just want you to know that it's an honor to be in your home. And I watched my dad tear up. He said, no, John. He said, the honor is to have you in my home. You know, that's where we need to start with honor. And, you know, and just, whew, that almost took off right there. I'm just going to, but, you know, as my dad comes, you know, I remember him telling us as young men, if you're not the godliest man that your children know, you've got work to do. And honestly, I believe that was a very unfair statement for my dad to make because my children know him. So, Dad, come on up. I'm so excited to be here. See, I have my dad here, and I love you, Dad.
Man, how times change us since teenagers, right? Yeah. He had a different attitude when he was a kid. Well, I thank God for God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, it's a privilege to be here. You know, it's a lot of history in this place, right? A lot of great things happen. And a lot of things going to happen. Still going to happen. You know, but I want to share today, and I just pray that you're hungry. How many is hungry here? You know, going for 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, a lot of people get hungry. But like I said to Cindy, I had the Lord. I couldn't get, you know, settling in my mind what to share on. But the Lord, I really believe that the Lord wants me to pour two things into one here. But today, I want to start off by saying it's a privilege and an honor to be here. And Pastor Jay is the head server here, so he asked me to serve. So today, I'm going to be your server. And it's hard to say what's going to happen, you know what I mean? Because we just be led of the Holy Spirit. And some things I want to read here that I wrote down, it says, I'm your server today, and I like for you to liken this place today as a buffet restaurant. And there's a menu that I want to talk about. And and oh yes, there's a bar available. And has a vast supply of Holy Ghost wine. Now, I got to warn you, if you're the first time here, and when you start, some people act differently as they drink this wine. You know what I mean? Some run, some jump, some laugh, some shout, right? And I've seen on occasion, sometimes, somebody that had too much, they had to get carried home. Who say that he could? Who has experienced that? That's a good feeling. And oh yes, I want to say this today is all on the house, right, Pastor? Amen. Now, like a few things have been mentioned already this morning that I'm going to share. Like there's one scripture in Ephesians 3:8. It says, though I am least deserving of all saints, or it goes on, excuse me, though I am leastly serving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. So I believe that we're all Gentiles here this morning, right? And there's an endless treasure available because we're in Christ. Just think about that. Let that sink in for a while. You know, yesterday, I'll go back to this here. We have to know what's available. Amen? Before we could go anywhere in God, we have to know what's available. You know, this came to me yesterday. I shared this quite a while ago. It says, it's talking about when the Titanic sunk. I can remember one time I was walking, and when I got home, while I was walking, the Lord said, when you get home, I want you to look up the last distress call on the Titanic. And I said, Lord, what's this about? And, you know, the last distress call, how many know it? 4146 North, 5014 West. That is a universal navigational truth. You could be anywhere in the world in a ship. And if you put that in your computer or your navigational system, your ship would be brought exactly to 4146 North, 5014 West, where the Titanic lies right now. You know, on, I think, April the 15th, 1912, that's when his last distress call was given. And there's no one here could remember that. You know what I mean? And so, but that ship sunk in 2.5 miles of water, 600 kilometers from the southwest coast of Newfoundland, in 41,100,000 square miles of water. You imagine? That's a lot of water. The Atlantic Ocean is the fourth largest ocean in the world. Now, without this position, looking for that Titanic and that amount of water would be like looking for a needle in a haystack. It'd be impossible. But you know, in 1985, Dr. Ballard, Robert Ballard, left Halifax Harbor in search of the Titanic, 73 years after it sank. And all he had to go by was 4146 North, 5014 West. That's all he had. You imagine hitting out to look for a boat that's in 2.5 miles of water in 41 million square miles of water. But like I said, it was a navigational truth. And we know the story. He found it. But why I said all this to say that is listen, we have a heavenly universal truth, way beyond any natural truth. And as you and I get into God's Word, as we study the Word, we'll find out, amen, what's available. And saints, we need to know what's available. You know, a few years ago, I was down in Alabama and I was ministering and I came up to Tennessee and you know Gerald Russell. Okay, so we stopped there for the night, and he wanted us to meet his pastor. So we went out and seen his pastor, and while we was talking to his pastor shared with us that, you know, he said, all my life I thought my dad was my dad, but he said, I had a blood test, and my blood never matched my dad's blood. So he said, I called my mom. He said, what's going on here? She said, we need to talk. And, you know, but as I thought about that, you know, the blood test revealed who he was. Now, prior to that, this pastor, he was a hard case. You know, and his brother was in prison. Excuse me for a minute. And, like, he was in a lot of trouble before he came to the Lord. But on the way back to Gerald's place, a thought came to my mind. a movie came to my mind that I watched years ago, and probably some of you guys seen it. Kenneth Copeland was the star in it. It was called The Gunslinger. Can you remember that? And I started to think about it, you know. But in this movie, Kenneth Copeland, who was a bank robber at one time, became a Christian. He got born again. And he was in Dry Gulch getting, you know, narrated into becoming a federal marshal. And his old bank robbers, they came in town and tried to rob the bank. What happened? They captured Kenneth Copeland, hit him over the head, and dragged him off. Now, when he came to, he didn't know who he was. He didn't know where he was. And they convinced him, hey, you're a bank robber. You're still a bank robber. When he said, who am I? Or what, you know. But prior to him getting carried away, a little kid slipped a Bible in his pocket. And, you know, every now and then in the scene, after the bank robbing and everything, Kenneth Copeland, you see Kenneth Copeland over to the corner, over somewhere, and he's reading this Bible. And the leader of the bank robber said, listen, we got to get that Bible away from him. Because if we don't, he's going to find out who he is. You know, man, if you think about that, he's going to find out who he is. And you know what? Listen, lots of times these books, they sit in our house and they gather dust. But you know what? We should, you know what? Well, usually we have three meals a day. At least we should have one, right? Because this, you know, is the Word of God that sets us free. See, you know, what's on that menu? What's available? Like if you go in, if you look in the Word, the Bible says in Romans, I think it's 5, it says, faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. There's faith in this menu that I want to bring out today. There's faith available for every child of God. And the Word says, you know, that's how we're going to overcome, is by faith. Faith. But you know what? Faith comes by hearing. But you know what? Manifestations comes by acting and doing on what one has heard. Just get that, amen? Manifestations come when we act and we do what we heard. And the Bible is full of it. You know, there's so many places that, excuse me, I know I brought this for something new. This is Melissa's, one of Melissa's cloth. I can remember a few years ago. This is funny. I was putting up a piece of steel on my shed, and it came down and whacked my head, cut my head open, and I'm bleeding, and I didn't want to go in the house because my mother-in-law was in there, and I didn't want to see the blood coming down. And so I went in, and the first thing I'd done, I grabbed one of Cindy's dish towels off the stove and put it on my head and called the guy and said, hey, I need to go up to the hospital. I just split my head open. He said, I just put a roast in the oven. That's a big deal. I said, come on, I need to go to the hospital. And so I did, and so I went to the hospital, and so I called Cindy and told her what happened. And she finally come in, and she come in and see me there. You know what was the first thing she said? You took my good dishcloth. Leave it to women, hey? God bless them anyway. What a ordeal that was. Anyway, getting back to the Word, amen. You know, so faith comes by hearing, but manifestation comes by acting on the Word. And we see so many places in the Bible that when people, you know, they heard the Word, like, you know, the scripture is so familiar. You all know about the woman that had the issue of blood. The Bible says that she heard about Jesus, amen? And the Word says that she came and she came where Jesus was ministering. I wonder what she was hearing. I bet she was hearing, amen, that Jesus was healing the sick, amen, healing the deaf, amen, casting out devils. But she wanted to get where Jesus was. And in that culture at that time, it was forbidden for that woman to be among that crowd because she had an initial of blood. But the Bible says that she said, if I could touch him. You know what she did? She acted on what she heard. And when she acted on what she heard, amen, God brought to manifestation. Virtue poured out of Jesus into her body. Amen. Glory to God. You know, as we get into God's word today, and you know what? The one thing that I wrote down that's available, freedom. Say freedom. You know, the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus said, I think it's in John 8:31, it says, he tells you, he said, you will be my disciples if you continue in my word. So we see condition, right? We have to continue, Brother Jay, in the word. We have to stay in the word because it's the word that gives us strength. It's the word that keeps us going, amen? And there's so many places in God's word, amen, that instructs us and shows us, amen, that once we hear it, you know, the Bible says in Genesis, remember, Jacob. You know the story about Joseph. He was already in Egypt, and God was carrying out the plan and the purpose for Joseph. He became the prime minister of Egypt. The Bible says he was second most powerful man in Egypt. But now his dad and his family was facing starvation. But you know what? The Bible says that Jacob heard. Say he heard. He heard that there was corn in Egypt. Amen. And he told his son, hey, you got to go to Egypt. You got to go down. And he went down. I think he made two trips. But the second trip, I think it was that, or I don't know, the second or third trip, he got to go. But you know what? By him acting on what he heard, God fulfilled that promise. Amen. He fulfilled that promise. You know, like, you know, that his whole family came down in Egypt and was, you know, that's why we're all here today, is because, but that had to be fulfilled, but it started by him acting on what he heard. And we have to examine our hearts today. What are we hearing? What is God speaking to our hearts today? What is God showing you today? Amen. Like, you know, we read in the fifth chapter of Luke about Peter. The Bible says that Jesus came along one day, and there's a whole bunch of empty boats. The fishermen has been gone out, and they were washing their nets. Jesus sat in the boat, and he pushed out a little bit, and he said, and he started to teach the word. And you know who was sitting in that boat? I believe Peter, because he got in Peter's boat. And you know what, Brother Jay? Peter was hearing the word. He was hearing the word. And you know what? Faith comes by hearing. And you know, finally, when he was finished, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, let's go out for a catch. He never said, now, like in Newfoundland, he would say, let's try for a trout bite. No, he said, let's go out for a catch. He never said, let's go out and try to get one. He said, we're going. I mean, when Jesus said, we're going, I've been a fisherman for 30 years. I can't understand why they never had fish finders called Jesus. Because he's the best fish finder that's ever been, right? And so we see that. And Peter, I've experienced just being a fisherman. I fished all night, lots of times. I never caught a thing. And when you get home after fishing all night, the last thing you want to do is go out again. You just want to go home and get some rest. But here's Peter. Peter looked at Jesus and he said, nevertheless, at your word. But anyway, first of all, he told Jesus, listen, Jesus, I worked all night. I fished all night. Never caught a thing. But nevertheless, say nevertheless. Oh, let down the net. And you know what happened? Amen. They got two boatloads. He had to call his partners to come. And the word says, they were all astonished. But see, what happened? Get this again. This is what I want to emphasize on today. Peter heard the word, and he acted on it. He wouldn't have had no fish. He wouldn't have got no fish if he said, hey, okay, Jesus, I know, I believe what you're saying, but I'm going home. He wouldn't have got no fish. But you know what? It was even more than that. Because after that miracle took place, there was something else that arrived from that. Jesus looked at Peter, from now on, you're going to be in the full-time ministry. Amen? And it all started by acting on what he heard. Amen. He acted on what he heard. Amen? Hallelujah. I got a bunch of stuff wrote down here, but I just want to, you know, the water that I spaced out, waste over this is bringing everything. It's like I can honestly say what Brother May was a pastor in Wheatley. Have you ever met Mr.? Well, that was Mrs. May's husband. And he said one time when he said, this preacher would get preaching. And he said, every time then he say, when he come to a word he couldn't pronounce, he said, burned out. Because what happened, his Bible got in a fire. And he used the excuse, it burned out, you know what I mean? But anyway, that's what I could honestly say. I could honestly say today, amen, there's some things being burned out. Amen. But what's available? Amen. But if you keep reading the word, Ivan, amen, if you keep reading it, amen, hallelujah, God is going to reveal some things. Hallelujah. You know, like, we just took up the offering. You know what? Giving, you know, we can trigger God by our giving. You know, I believe, you know, Pilate, Paul and Silas in jail that night. You imagine? They cast the devil out of a person, and they end up in jail for that. But the Bible says at midnight, they were complaining and saying, hey, man, Silas, why did I ever follow you? Why did I ever get into ministry? No, the word says that they were praising and they were worshiping the Lord. And the Bible says, you know, suddenly there came an earthquake. The place started to shake. And they came and, you know, and the jailer came. But, you know, in that instant, you say, and the prisoners heard them. Not like, you know, I can't wait to get to heaven and say, hey, talk to Paul. And hey, Paul, what happened to them prisoners? They heard you praising the Lord tonight. Did they all get saved too with them jailers? That's something to think about. You know, when you read the word, like, you know, you think about things, you know, like that. But, you know, the greatest words, amen, that you and I could ever hear was, what must I do to be saved? He came and fell at Paul's feet. And, you know, I believe all that happened because Paul and them were acting on the word, carrying out the word. And like I just mentioned, giving is something that when we act on it, I know in our own lives, man, I tell you one thing, God has blessed us beyond, you know. And I can remember one time down in Indiana, I'll never forget it. I went to Indiana. I was $50,000 in debt. On Friday. And the Lord said, I want you to sow $1,000. I said, I haven't got $1,000. I haven't got $1,000. He said, I want you to sow $1,000 so you know how I'll give it when I get it. Yeah, I pledged it. But I called Cindy first and she said, well, she said, if the Lord is telling you to do that, do it. So we did it. That was on Friday. You know what? Monday, we were $50,000 debt-free over the weekend. Amen. And, you know, and that's when we bought our house. We were able to have a down payment for our house. You know, I talked to the bank manager in Wheatley. When I showed him all this, he said, how did, Brother Jack, he said, how did this happen? I said, God. God. And you know what? When we purchased our house, I was upstairs in the office at the church, and I heard somebody walking up the stairs. Our first payment was due, $1,000. This man walked in. He said, here's a check. I want to give you $1,000 for your first payment. You know what? Amen. So, but you know what? It all come about because I heard and acted. I got to tell you this story, too. This is a good one. John Avicini. Anybody ever hear John Avicini? He was with Kenneth Copeland. He was in Detroit. So I went over, and like he was saying, he was telling the people, bring all your bills over. Bring all your bills, and, you know, I'm going to pray. And I'm believing God for a miracle. So, man, we had a lot of bills at that time. That was before the $50,000. Anyway, probably was another. There was, well, what happened? We just lost our house in Newfoundland. It burned down. when we moved up here in 88, we had a house and it burned down, but we had to rent it out. And what happened, we had insurance on it, and we tried to pay insurance, but the insurance company sent a check back, said you have to be in your house to you know, whatever. And so it wasn't covered. So we let somebody rent it. And on Christmas Day, we got the call. Our house is on fire in New Harbor. It burned to the ground. So that was a debt. We had that. And well, we, now that house, we never paid much for it, believe me. You know what we got that house for? $13,000. So, well, $13,000 when you haven't got $13,000 is a lot of money, right? And so anyway, I went over to John Amasini. And that night, he started to pray, and the Lord, he took up an offering, and he said, tonight, I'm not just taking up just an offering. If the Lord don't tell you to give anything, you don't give. Not very many churches you go into they say that, right? But anyway, they say, but I want you to do it from being led by the Spirit. So the Lord said, I want you to give everything you have on you. I said, okay. And you know what I had on me? $13 and change. So I gave it all to him. I put that $13 in. But after the meeting was over, John Avicini was over signing books. And when I looked him up, felt in my pocket, I had a dime left. Now, you know what? He just talked about how people gave hundreds of thousands of dollars, $20,000. The Lord said, I want you to go and give John Avicini that dime. I said, you got to be kidding. Now, you imagine? And he's over there signing this book. This is a guy that's, you know, he's on Kinnikulp and everything. I went over, I said, Brother John, tonight, the Lord, I never told him how much I give. I said, the Lord told me to give everything I did. And I thought I did, but I still got this dime left. He said, you want to give it? I said, yes, sir. He said, put it there on the desk. So I put the dime on the desk, and he slipped in his pocket and gave me a $10 American. that was more probably than the $13 I just gave anyway. But, you know, when I came back that spring, Pastor Davis was a pastor out in where we used to go. He was an accountant before he became a pastor. He said, so he was going to do my taxes. So I said, okay. I brought it out. And when he said to me, he said, you had a house burn in Newfoundland, didn't you? I said, yes. He said, okay. He said, let me see what I can do about it. So I got a call. And he called me and he said, Dorman, I said, what? He said, this year, he said, you're getting $12,000 back and your wife is getting $2,000 back. So, you know, listen, what I'm trying to say here is that, now, I'm not planning on taking up an offering, you know what I mean? But what I'm trying to say is that when you hear God's word, you act on it. We act on it. We act on the word of God. And God is responsible for bringing the manifestations. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the same way in the giving, the same way in you know, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Like this place here, man, I spend more time on the carpet here than I did on my feet. You know, one time I said to the Lord, Lord, I spend so much time on the carpet, I think you're calling me to be a vacuum cleaner. Devil buster. Anyway, praise the Lord. So, you know, it's so important to know what's available for the child of God. Like I said, freedom. Say peace. Peace of mind is available. Man, we need peace in this time right now, right? We need peace. The peace which passeth all understanding. You know, in the Bible, we see that Jesus had peace. The Bible says, in the midst of a storm, he was sound asleep on a pillow. Now, listen, I've been a fisherman. I was a commercial fisherman for 30 years. And I tell you, when you get in a storm, you don't very often sleep. Right? Sometimes you're standing on your head, and sometimes you're on your feet. It depends with the how the boat rolls, right? But Jesus is asleep because you know what? Because he's the Prince of Peace. You know, Peter, in the 12th chapter of Acts, we read that Peter, you know, they had an inquiry. They killed James, was it, with the sword? And they put Peter in prison. and they were going to have court work about him the next day because he might be getting killed too, right? But the Bible says Peter is asleep between two soldiers. See, this peace is available, saints. And the Bible says that an angel came. And what an angel had to do? He never shook him. He had to explain, hey, Peter, wake up. And he woke him up, and he went out, right? But peace, peace. But you know what? I believe Peter heard a word. Remember what Jesus said to him in John 21? He said, Peter, when you're young, you're going to do this. And when you're old, you're going to do this. So I believe that word was in him. Amen. And you know what? Today, saints, if God has placed a word in you, you stand on it. You stand on it because he'll bring it to pass. Just decree it, pray over it. Amen. It is going to come to pass. Amen. Like our kids, when I seen our kids up here this morning, man, they weren't always like that. Believe me. Yeah, you can hear, you listen to their testimonies. But I think it was only one night, I think I lost some sleep until the Lord got a hold of me because I used to always cast it up on the Lord. And, you know, when they were young like that, it's when we had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, my wife and I, and I used to get intoxicated a lot. So when all these worries come, I just get in the presence of the Lord and get caught up in the Holy Ghost and just cast it all on the Lord. But this one time, when Dorman, we send them to, where was it? Texas, to Teen Challenge. And he went to Texas, he got in Teen Challenge, and he called me and said, Dad, I'm not staying here. I said, oh, yes, you are. He said, buy my ticket home. No way. No way, you stayed there. He said, well, I'm leaving. So he did leave. And, you know, he said he was going to the Salvation Army. You know what? So I got a hold of that place in Texas at the Salvation Army. I said, did a man show up there, Dorman? He said, no. Nobody heard that name. I said, okay, man. So I left and I went over to church and I was over to church and I was praying. I was more worrying than praying because, man, I said, here's Dorman. He's in Texas. He's got no money, you know, and like he's from Canada. So if he gets picked up, naturally, they're going to lock him up, right? So I was kind of concerned. I was really concerned. So I'm there and I'm walking back and forth and finally, I sits in this seat. I said, Lord, where is he? He said, he's asleep. I said, what? He said, he's asleep. So with that, I fell asleep. 9 o'clock, I hear the phone ringing. This is Sydney. She said, I heard from Dorman. I said, where is he? She said, in the Hilton Hotel. I said, how did he get there? She said, he remembered your credit card number. You know what I did? I canceled it right away. You know, and he wouldn't call until that morning he got up, you know, had bacon and eggs and everything. Then he called home. What's that? Steak? Oh, steak and egg. Okay, he still owe me. But see, what I'm trying to say is that like, peace. We have to have peace. And like I'm saying, like, you know, we believe God for him. We believe God. We're believing God for Luke. Amen. I decree you will preach the gospel. You will preach the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. See, being free and knowing. Once that you know that you know that you know. It's like I can remember, I don't want me too much longer, brother, but once that you know that you know that you know, there's nobody can take it away from you. I can remember one time going and driving back to Newfoundland. I was sitting in the station there before you go across on the ferry. And that's when, remember when O.J. Simpson was like, you know, he was running and one guy looked at me and said, you know, he's guilty. He's guilty. And he said to me, he said, what do you think? I said, sir, I don't know. I said, I can't judge the man. I don't know. And so we got talking and then opened up with the Lord. And he said, I got to ask you a question. He said, my sister was a street person. She was a hooker. He said, something happened to her. I said, yeah. He said, she got born again. Do you know anything about that? Oh man, I said, ka-ching. Amen. You know what I mean? You know, so I shared the Christ with him, and I shared Christ with him even when he, you know, months after we were in contact. But, you know, then I got on the boat, and I was so excited. I was so excited that, you know, and then I'm reading this Charisma magazine, and this guy walks up to me, Rod, and he says to me, "What are you reading?" I said, "Charisma." Now, you know what? I just got back from Rodney Howard Brown conference, and he said to me, "You know what?" He said, "If I had my Bible here, I proved to you that that's all wrong." I said, "Really?" I said, "Listen, brother." I said, "If you're a Christian, let's stay here." I said, "You know what? It's too late for me. I've already tasted." I said, "I know what I experienced, and no devil in hell was going to take this away." You know, now sometimes we need to be led by the Spirit to speak to people. I can remember one time in Detroit coming back from a meeting, and this guy is sitting there. I love to talk to people. You know what I mean? And I got talking to him, and he started to share with me. He said, "You know, in my first life, I was shot." He said, "In my second life," he said, "I was burned to a stake." Then he said to me, he said, "What do you think of that?" I said, "Well, getting burned to a stake is something you wouldn't forget." And then I said to him, I said, how long have you been at a university? He said, "How do you know?" I said, "Oh, I could tell." Now, that's not against anybody that's going to Burnt University, but you know what I mean, right? So sometimes, you know, once you start to talk like that, I'm saying, "Oh, God, why did I say anything?" But, you know, but I sowed a seed anyway, you know what I mean? So, like, sometimes you get in trouble when you're not led by the Spirit, you know. The Bible says to be slow to speak, swift to hear. Like, we got two ears and one mouth, we're to speak, you know, we're to listen twice as much as we speak. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, like I'm saying, what's available today is awesome. You know, we've all been given the Spirit of reconciliation. There's nobody here that's born again that we can't lead somebody to the Lord. And leading somebody to the Lord is the most exciting thing that's on the face of this earth. And you know, I want to give all the glory. What I'm saying today, I don't want to look at me. I want you to look at Jesus, because without him, we're nothing. You know, one time I was preaching and my granddaughter said to me, "Pop, I like the way you preach. You don't use big words." I said, "You know why I don't use big words?" She said, "Yeah, you don't know any." That's good, you know what I mean? But like, you know, we have a ministry, each and every one of us. And we ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, who you want me to speak to today? Who do you want me to talk to today?" I can remember in Kingsville getting feet therapy. And Sarah said to me, "There's a lady that wants to talk to you today." And so I said, "Well, while I was getting my feet done, this lady is talking." She said, "You know, I don't know Jesus, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about him." I said, "Sorry, listen, I don't want to offend you or anything, but," I said, "if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to heaven." She said, "I'm not? No." Then I explained the plan of salvation to her. And right there while I was getting my feet done, Brother Clyde, she gave her heart to the Lord. So you know, like, it happens. It happens wherever we go, and God is able to use us, because that the Holy Ghost is in. Say, "The Holy Ghost lives in me." And you know what? The Holy Ghost in you and the Holy Ghost in me wants to get people saved more than we do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to close with this. But this is to God be the glory. You know, it's been 9 years now since I had a quadruple bypass, and in the last 9 years, God has been good to me. Man, I just give God all the glory. You know, like, after I finished pastoring, I started to pick up pallets. Everybody know that. And I was picking up probably 2,000 pallets a week. And one guy said to me, "How old are you?" I told him. He said, "Man," he said, "you work like a teenager." I said, "No, it's God's grace." And I explained to him, "Man, you know what? It's God's grace. Especially when I was putting them 20 high, but there's a way to do it. I use my head, not my back." You know what I mean? But like 9 years ago, like I was walking and I found I had a pain in my chest. When I got back home, I went in the shower and it was still there. That was on a Wednesday morning. I said, well, I'm going up to prayer with Pastor Danny. And I went up and Pastor Danny wasn't there. So I said, well, I better go home again. But going down Elliott Street, the pain got worse. So when I got to the end of Elliott, I said, I better go up to the hospital to get this checked out. So, man, when I got to the hospital, it was really paining. I walked in, this Leamington Hospital, God bless them. I walked in, and I said, I'm having some pains in my chest. I said, she said, okay, well, sit there, and when your name comes up, I said, okay. So I was sitting there, and when I sat down, it got worse. So I got up, and I walked over around. I said, listen, I'm having some bad pain in my chest. She said, okay. So she went, they done something. Well, I went into the place, and the doctor come in, he said, did he give you any nitro or anything? I said, no. He said, what? You know, no. And so that afternoon, they had another blood test, and they said, well, you had a heart attack. That's what they're saying, right? I said, okay. And you got to stay tonight. So, you know, then they carried me to Windsor, where you go through that test to see, you know, if your heart is plugged up or whatever, and it was. Anyway, so I had to stay up in Windsor, and then they was scheduled to have surgery in London. So I can remember, and you know what? Listen, it was a scary thing. Believe me. But you know what? I thank God for the peace of God. You know, while I was in that room in Windsor, there was a man there telling his wife, he said, honey, she was saying, honey, I want you to come home. He said, no, I'm not coming home. I'm diagnosed. I'm going to die. I want to die into the, what do you call it, the place where they put people? Hospice. He said, I'm dying. And so, you know what? I was strapped in. I had all kinds of things. I said, Lord, give me. It was long enough. So I got out of bed, and I walked over, and I put my hands on his feet. I said, sir, can I pray for you? He kind of looked at me, and his wife looked at me. She said, yes, okay. So I prayed. And you know what? And that afternoon, the doctor come in, and he said, what's this that you're dying? He said, well, that's what you guys said. No, he said, we done the test. He said, it's not that at all. He said, you're going to be going home. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. Amen. That's awesome. So, you know, so I got back in bed again. And so that the next morning, we got the call. Was it Cindy? I got the call that I'm going to be shipped to London. So I got in the ambulance that night on the way to London. I don't think I had a chance to tell you guys because I left so soon. And on the way down, like you're in the ambulance and the paramedic is in the back, and you know, if anybody's driven ambulance, you're taking your blood pressure and all the sounds and everything. And man, I got going down to 401 and I got talking to this paramedic. I said, I started telling him about Dorman, how he got delivered from drugs, how he got set free. And you know, he looked at me, man. He said, I feel something. I said, that's the Holy Ghost. He said, really? I said, yeah. And so I got talking and telling him about, man, he said, that's awesome. I said to him, his name was Nick. I said, Nick, have you ever accepted the Lord? He said, no. He said, I'm Catholic. I said, it don't matter. Don't matter. I said, would you like to accept Jesus? He said, yes. I said, right here? He said, right here. So on the way, amen, with all this being taking my blood pressure and everything, Nick gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you one thing. You know what? When I got to London, I could have ran out of that ambulance, you know. Then I was brought into here, and, you know, and how the enemy tries to bring fear. Lying in this room here, and the nurse said, you got to go down and get this done and this done. And while I was sitting, Pastor Gary, on the chair, They brought this stretcher in with a body on it, wheeled it to pass, and the nurse said, listen, get that out of here. He said, that's all he needs to see tonight. And the enemy's saying, listen, you're going to be on that stretcher like that tomorrow. You know how he talks to you, right? So, man, in the room, this is the truth as I'm here. I'm lying in the room, and four more guys in there, and the nurse comes in and says, you know, we want to give you a little glimpse of what's going to take place tomorrow. I said, no. I said, I don't want to see that. And I had my Bible, and I had my, I think, Dr. Lake's book, and I was reading that. And you know what? The fear, honestly, the fear came. And I said, God, this is fear. So I start to rebuke the fear, and I start to quote scriptures. I start to quote scriptures, and all of a sudden, the presence of the Lord came. You know what came also? The joy of the Lord. Oh, man. And the joy of the Lord. And just like that, the Lord gave me a vision. And, you know, the vision was, anybody ever see that movie, that song, Carmen, Revival in the Land? Remember, like this guy, the demons are all down the hill, and the saints are praying, and there's arrows coming down, and devils are all taken off for cover. Well, that's what the Lord showed me. Well, I tell you one thing, the joy and the peace which passeth all understanding flood my mind. And I never had the fear left. And the next morning, when they wheeled me out, Cindy and Norman was there then, and here's this guy with a coat over his shoulder like this, with a Tim Hortons coffee. I said, and who may you be? He said, put it this way. He said, I'm the head guy today. That's the surgeon. And so you know what? They wheeled me into the place. And like, man, I never seen so many doctors in my life. They're all ready to, you know, take my heart out. and he said, before you take the anesthetic, before you go to sleep, you got anything you want to say? I said, yes. I said, can I pray for you guys? And you know what? They let me pray for them. Praise the Lord. I don't know if they were Muslim or whatever. I didn't care. But I just prayed for them because I want God to guide your hands. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? That's the peace that we have. That's the joy that we have. Amen. That's what's available. Winning people to the Lord. You know what? Sometimes, you know, like this is a church setting, right? But you know what? God is able to save people to the uttermost. Wherever you go, amen, God's got people that need to hear his word. Right today, people need Jesus. Canada needs Jesus. Our prime minister needs Jesus. Our government officials need Jesus. Amen? And we have saints. God has given us the privilege, amen, of interceding and standing in the gap for them. Hallelujah. And like, I don't know what you do. Do you pray for people still? Or how do you?
Why don't you use can you pray for us if we want boldness for evangelism?
Pardon?
Can you pray for us for boldness?
Okay, amen.
If you guys want some boldness for evangelism.
You know, the pastor, you've got to meet the pastor that pastor's in Newfoundland. His name is Gerald Welsh. I tell you one thing, you want to see a man that's bold? Oh, and, you know, he's awesome. We were in a restaurant, and, you know, there was no room. And he said, so I said, Gerald, I said, they got nowhere to sit. Let's get them to sit. So it's over, and you know what? They came and sat with us. Before the lunch was over, two of them were born again. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for Holy Ghost boldness, Lord God. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus for this body here today, Lord God. And, Lord God, for all of us, Lord God, even if we're not belong to this body, Lord God, we belong to your body. And, Lord, Father God, your DNA is, Lord God, your DNA is, Lord God, to get people saved. Lord God, you've given us that responsibility, Lord God, to preach your word. So, Father, we pray for Holy Ghost boldness, a spirit of boldness, Lord Father God, upon every person that's here, Lord Father. I pray, Lord God, that for open doors, Lord God. Lord God, opportunities, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, hallelujah. And I pray, Lord Father God, I pray, God, as we go today, Lord God, that you would open up doors, Lord God. The most important thing on the face of this earth, Lord God, is knowing you. And Father, we give you all the glory, and I thank you for this honor this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.